All right. So, we're doing things a little different, but you know, it never hurts to do something a little bit different. Whatever God wants to do, we're willing to do it. Amen? And so, today I was praying about this, and I said, Lord, what is it you want to say today? And I believe that, you know, in thinking as after this all came together, of course, he already instructed me on the music, but the music goes right along with what he wants to say today. And as believers, we need to realize who we really are in Christ. Think about the power and authority that he's placed in each one of you that have received him into your life. I don't really have a title for this today, but you know what? I got to ask you, are you an overcomer? Are you prepared to be the overcomer that God wants you to be? You know, what really is an overcomer? An overcomer, think about it. When you carry the presence of God in you, the power and the authority, his desire, what he wants to do on this earth, as an overcomer, you are a difference maker. Amen? You know, there's got to be some people on the earth because there's so many things happening all the time. There's got to be those that will stand up and make a difference. You know, think about it in sports or whatever. Everybody wants, or even, you know, maybe some people dream about being the hero that comes through and saves the day, or the sports person that at the last minute they come in and they make the difference and bring the victory. Well, Jesus has brought us victory. We are in Christ Jesus, and he makes us difference makers, overcomers in him. Amen? You know, we see a lot of scriptures that talk about overcomers, talk about being, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And then there's Romans 8:37 that says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And then John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, the enemy doesn't want you to be walking in the power that has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. If you cut off access to him, then you're giving him no place. We need to give the devil no place. Amen? You know, today we live in a time where people will use your own words against you. Freedom of speech, free thinking are used against you as a means to ultimately manipulate and control you and your way of life. But you know what the scripture says? Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. So we are overcomers. When you identify in Christ, you realize he makes you an overcomer. He makes you victorious no matter what the circumstance may be. So looking at an overcomer, let's take a little closer look here this morning. And I want you to turn to Psalm 141. Well, what is the main characteristic of an overcomer? What is it about a character of a person that's an overcomer that you can think of? Everybody knows somebody that they view as, that's an overcomer. What is the main characteristic about that person? Well, they are doers. James 1, verse 23 talks about that. But they are ones that are not ashamed, not afraid, but they're going to go ahead and do what the word says. So say this with me this morning. Say, I am a doer.
I am a doer.
Say it again. I am a doer.
I am a doer.
I am a doer of the word of God. Okay, let's look at Psalm 141. And I'm going to read you a couple of different versions here this morning out of the King James. It says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. That's verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. The New American Standard says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. The Message reads, post a guard at my mouth. God, set a watch at the door of my lips. And then the Passion reads this way, God, give me grace to guard my lips from speaking what is wrong. Hallelujah. Okay, from this scripture, we are instructed to set or post a guard over our mouths to keep watch over the door of our lips. So realizing that, there's power in us. And the Lord wants us to be aware that there is power in the things we say. And he says, guard it. Put a watch over it. Does your mouth need a guard this morning? Think about it. I mean, you know, in the natural, you see people, sports people, and sometimes they'll have this thing in their mouth, and it's to guard their teeth, isn't it? To keep them from getting knocked out. Well, think about the other way that, have you ever been told when you're young? And I've, growing up with six kids in our family, I heard it before. Watch your mouth. I heard that for Pastor Dan growing up. And I got it a few times too, yeah. But have you ever been told, hey, watch your mouth? And I'm not saying it has to be a, you know, usually it comes along with some discipline. And in days of old, it could come along with a slap or two. But you can't slap anyone anymore. That sounds bad. I'm sorry. No, I don't mean it that way. We were disciplined in love. The Lord knows, you know, the scripture tells us that you do need to discipline your children. And we were brought up, hey, Pastor Dan and I, we were, I don't know if you'd say partners in crime, but we were a pair that would get into things. And, you know, Mom and Dad had their hands full. I mean, they had other kids too, but we were like a whole nother group of echelon of something to deal with, because we were together all the time. And we would think up things that you'd say, what were we thinking? It is a miracle that we are still alive, because there were things we did that we should not have done. And so, you know, and that's not something to brag about. That's something to say, you know what? Praise the Lord that we are changed. We're different. Amen? Because there are those that will do things like that, and they grow up, and they keep on doing things like that, and they're the ones that usually end up in prison. So, hallelujah. The Lord has a plan for every life. And so, we are instructed here, though, to set a guard, post a sentry, 24/7, monitoring what's coming out of our lips. And there are many in the body of Christ, though, who think they know all there is to know about this, and yet they're not walking in the light and the truth of God's word. And if they were, there'd be a whole lot more being given unto them. It's important what is coming out of our mouths. You know, there was a phrase during World War II that was popular, and it said, loose lips sink ships, right? And, you know, it meaning that if there's a ship during war, if there was a ship filled, loaded with supplies or troops or whatever, if word got out, it could easily be destroyed and they'd lose everything. And, of course, there were times that did happen. And I think back to that where my dad served in World War II, and he was in reconnaissance. And so they would go in an armored vehicle in advance and scope out the land and give direction, whatever their orders were, directives of okay, there's the enemies on the left flank or whatever, we need to do, you know, number one, two, and three. But they had to be secretive about the, how they would communicate, because otherwise the enemy would get a hold of that information. You know, there were enemy spies keeping their ears open, and they'd try to cause, if they got the information they needed, they would cause death and destruction. That's part of war. And so we are in a battle. And the enemy is constantly looking to target you and I at the right place, at the right time. And so we could say it this way, loose lips will sink your ship. Can you say, watch your mouth? Okay, turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13. We need to guard our mouths. Proverbs 13, verse 3. I'm reading, this is out of the NIV, and it reads this way. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The New American Standard reads it this way. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So we need to monitor every word that comes out of our mouth. You know, and I know that sounds tough for some people. I mean, every word? Every word. Monitor it. You know, some people say, well, that's bondage. No, it's not bondage. What it is it's diligence. We are called to be diligent where the word is concerned. In order to give the enemy no access to our lives, an opening, we need to be diligent. So every word that comes out of our mouth, you know, the people of faith should know this. And it's surprising, you know, it's important that the words are very vitally important. And yet, there are those that let their guard down. There are Christians, even ministers I've spoken with, we've been with. And, you know, it's amazing where their thinking is. You're surprised at what they're saying. But people should know better. When something comes up, you find out what's in them in abundance. Stuff will come out of their mouth. What are they doing? Well, they're talking the problem. They're talking about the fear, their fears, doubts, and don't believe these truths. This is a truth in the Word of God. We should be watching what's coming out of our mouth. If they did believe in the truth of what the Word says, they would be guarding their lips. There are those in the church that just think, you know, a whole lot about what we say just doesn't matter. If they did believe it, they would monitor and adjust every word. Watch every word. That's why we need a sentry posted to monitor and watch. The Dewey translation of this same verse reads, "He that keeps his mouth keeps his soul. He that has no guard on his speech shall meet with evils." The Good News Bible reads, "Be careful or cautious what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself." So these are vital. This is vital information. This is intel, you could say, of what we need to do to keep God's word. The enemies. He's listening. He's looking for an access point all the time. All right, go to James chapter 1. The enemy doesn't play fair, and he's always looking for an opening in our lives. He wants to stop the word from going forth that's planted in your heart. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 26. It reads this way out of the King James, "If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." In other words, he's saying, if he doesn't bridle his tongue, his religion is useless. Faith without works is dead, isn't it? Think about, what is the primary action of our faith that the Lord's referring to? Saying. Speaking. Think about, how do we become born again? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to speak it out of your mouth. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is the high priest over our confession. So he's always listening to what it is we say, and the Lord works with our words, doesn't he? That's why we have to be so aware, and that's why the scriptures are steering us that you got to keep your eye on what's coming out of your mouth. Don't give in. Don't give in to the pressures of the world. Now, there's someone else who works with words, and his name is Satan. Did you know that? Satan's not, he doesn't play fair either. He's gonna try to find a spot every time where, what is the saying when in the courtroom? Anything you say can and will be used against you. That's Satan. He will do that. So he's looking for that spot. He is a legalist, isn't he? He's looking for an access point into your life. He's looking to catch you on a technicality or a detail to gain access. I've served on several juries before and actually put people in prison. You had to serve. And I served so much that at the one point I said, I'm done. After, I think it was the fourth time, they said, well, you ought to buy a lottery ticket. I said, no, I'm done. Any other name? I told him to call him instead. I said, you use that last name, you call him instead. Yeah, I did, yeah. But I'll tell you what, when you're in that jury box, there's a responsibility because I don't want to do anything. I want to do what's right. And you're given instructions. And by a technicality, this guy looked like he was going to be getting off. And then you go back and you look at the transcript of what was said. And he was caught lying on the stand. And so the devil is legalistic. He's going to look and he's going to find something that you say that he can use against you. And he will use it against you, okay? The NIV reads, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. So did you know that, you can pray a great prayer, one that lines up with the scriptures, and then 30 minutes later, null and void all of it? 30 minutes later, just undo everything with your mouth. And as a pastor, Pastor Dan deals with this more than I even, obviously. But that's one of the most frustrating things to deal with. If you don't control your mouth, the scripture says your religion is vain. It's worthless. Can you say, watch your mouth? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. We need to keep a watch over what's coming out of our mouths. The Lord wants to use our lives. Every day, He desires to use our lives. And you know what? Let's see, 55. The scriptures will lead and guide and direct us and give us wisdom and insight. Every day the Lord wants to utilize and he wants to use us to change the world around us. All right, Isaiah 55, let's start in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. See, this is his way. This is the Lord's way. He's speaking Every word he speaks, the scripture tells us, will not come back empty, but it will accomplish everything he sent it to do. So we've been, you know, in the natural, we've been taught that speaking is strictly for communicating and sharing, you know, what I think, what I feel. Does the world use words to accomplish things? Of course. You know, we see social media has utilized idle words to affect the way a generation will think, speak, and respond. You see, the devil knows exactly how important this is to maintain control in a life. And he wants to control your life. That's why God wants us, every one of us, to be aware of every word we speak. The complete Jewish Bible reads, "So is my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me unfulfilled, but it will accomplish what I intend and cause to succeed what I sent it to do." God's word says it will not come back to me without results. It will accomplish whatever I want to achieve, whatever I sent it to do. Should we not be doing the very same thing? Think about the scripture in Ephesians 5 that tells us to be, therefore, imitators, followers of him, dear children of God. As children, what you know, you see a child will mimic the parent, and sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not. It's a good habit or a bad habit. But, you know, you go, oh, isn't that cute? He's just like a little old man or whatever kind of thing. But there are times that, you know, that's not so cute. But the Lord, you know, we're called to be imitators of him. He's going to give us a good example every time. And God's ways are higher than our ways. Therefore, we need to step up to his ways. Amen? Say this with me. His ways are my ways. All right, the easy-to-read version of the Bible says this, "In the same way, my words leave my mouth, and they don't come back without results. My words make the things happen that I want to happen. They succeed in doing what I send them to do." And then the message says they'll complete the assignment I gave them. So when you were a child, you spoke as a child, didn't you? Think about that. When you were younger, sometimes you haphazardly or without thinking, thoughtlessly say something that you probably should not have said. But then when you grew up, you put away those childish things. When you became a Christian and you grew up in Christ, you began to realize that your words are not just to communicate, but your words are to accomplish. Our words are to accomplish. The Lord desires to do things through our lives. Every one of us have power that he's given to us, that he desires to use every day. When you get a hold of this, you won't just speak based on symptoms, feelings, or sight, whatever I feel or how things look, but you will pause and, like a skilled surgeon, use your faith-filled words, and they will accomplish what you send them to do, just as the scripture says. Amen? So, I want to read you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, out of the NIV, and it says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You know, some people think that it's a good thing to, well, you just got to vent sometime. No. What is venting? Venting is unwholesome talk, isn't it? Most of the time, it's just plain gossip. Well, I'm venting. I'm mad, and I'm going to just say what I want to say. No, watch your mouth. Can you say watch your mouth? We got to remember this. Our words are supposed to be going somewhere and doing something. Amen? Amen. The reason that we are accountable for what we say is because It is such a privilege to be able to choose our own words. Think about this. We are being groomed and trained to rule and reign as kings and priests on this earth. When you think about a ruler, and generally, you know, you're thinking about either Pharaoh or, Pilate. You know, ruling an empire. When they desired to build something new, like, I want to build a big giant edifice to honor me and my greatness as a ruler. As a ruler, what does a ruler do? If he says, you know, I want a ditch dug over here, I want you to dig some footers over here, what does he do? The first thing he does? Go look for a shovel? No. He's the ruler. He says, dig the ditch. He gives the command. Amen? So we are being groomed and trained. That's what Jesus was doing when he said in Mark 11:22 and 23, where he said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Satan doesn't want you speaking like Jesus and how Jesus spoke when he walked upon this earth, does he? Why? Because it will shut him down. It will close the door on him. How many of you here today want to slam the door on the devil? Then say, watch your mouth. Let's go to Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. We've got to watch the words we are saying. Be aware of what's coming out of our mouths, because our words carry power. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 12, and I want us to read verse 36. We'll start there. But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. That word idle here means non-working, empty, inactive, unemployed. Every inactive word, every idle word, unemployed word. Think about that. Our words employ something to get something done, don't they? How many idle words are out there in circulation that aren't doing anything? Words that were never loaded to do anything, never intended to do anything. Words that were never expected to accomplish anything. The number would be hard to count, wouldn't it? But because it's such a privilege to be able to say anything that you want to say, we will have to account for the ones that we didn't use. Think about that. The Amplified Bible says it this way, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. Why? Because an empty word spoken is a missed opportunity to change it. Think about, with the same time and breath that you can speak fear and unbelief, you could have put some faith to that and changed it and changed something. All right, go to Psalm 39. We're almost finished here. Psalm 39, this is out of the NIV. It says, I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. You know, think about this. We daily face temptations to speak words that we should not speak. Satan will pressure you and push you to say the things that you ought not say. If you don't think that what you say matters, then you will quickly comply and become easy prey to him. Think, have you ever given in and said something that you knew before you said it, that you better not say it, but you went ahead and did it anyways? And we all have. And of course, it got us into trouble, and we had to repent and ask forgiveness. But think about this. The worst part of all of that is that when we did that, we let the devil use our mouth. So let's make the decision today that my mouth is off limits to the devil. Amen? If you really mean it, then you're going to have to take a stand. The number one thing it will be is that we will have to quit talking so much. You know, sometimes that's a good thing. Stop talking so much. Another version says, I'm going to quit complaining. Who inspires us to complain? Satan, yeah. Think about the Israelites when they wandered in the desert. What did they do? They murmured and complained and griped. And what happened? It removed the protection that was over them. The enemy found an access point. He found a way in. Remember that before this, they were all protected during the plagues that came. So complaining is dangerous. It's important to when it's important to the enemy for you to say something, he's going to come back to you time and time again and again. He's going to keep coming back at you, tempting you, putting pressure on you. He will tempt you and apply pressures that upon you that get so strong that and he's going to try to get you to give in and say it. Say what he wants you to say. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about spiritual pressure is going to be applied because the enemy needs you to say something. He needs you to say it so he can gain access into your life. What was the first temptation that Satan came at Jesus with in the wilderness? Remember when he came before Jesus and said, and you can find this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Why did he say this to Jesus? He was trying to get him to use unauthorized words, rebellious words, to gain access into his life. It shows the depth of Satan's rebellious attitude. Jesus refused to speak out under that pressure. And what did he say? He spoke the word. So, 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says to be sober and watchful, for our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom withstand steadfast in the faith, the scripture tells us. We need to stand fast upon the word and not allow the enemy to have his way. Amen? Now, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 tells us that life and death, blessing and cursing, are placed before us. But the Lord says, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Think about this. The devil wants access into your life, but you know what? God wants access into your life. So God needs you to say, I believe in Jesus. He needs us to vocalize that. I need Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is raised from the dead, and I confess him as Lord, and I confess him as Savior of my life. He needs us to say that. And when we do, it gives him access. So we want the access of the word in our lives to continuously flow. That his will be done, not ours. Amen? The complete Jewish, once again, out of Psalm 106, verse 33, says this. For they embittered his spirit. Moses spoke up without thinking. This says that they made Moses bitter. They made him speak recklessly, didn't they? And what happened to Moses when they were in the wilderness and Moses struck the rock? Moses spoke out. Did it cost him? Sure it did, yeah. It kept him from the desire of his heart. It kept him from seeing the journey to its end. He dropped down to their level and spoke the way they were. You know, the scripture says, insult with insult. 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but blessing with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit the blessing. It cost Moses a lot. And so when you talk their talk, you get what they get. Just like the others that didn't get into the promised land. But because of Moses was able to at least see, but he wasn't able to go into it, the land. It cost him. So today I want us to just dedicate and make a vow before the Lord that I'm going to serve you, Lord, and I'm going to use the words of my mouth. And I'm not going to be, I don't want to be accountable for words that I left unused. So I want to read you one last scripture out of the Passion. That same Psalm chapter 39, verse 1. It reads this way. Here's my life motto, the truth I live by. I will guard my ways for all my days. I will speak only what is right, guarding what I speak. Like a watchman guards against an attack of the enemy, I will guard and muzzle my mouth. We need to be strong believers that will not just speak out rashly. See, Moses got mad and he said, you know what? Yeah, you think this, I'm going to tell you. And he got in that same attitude when he did it. We've got to take control, allow the Holy Spirit to have control of our lives. So let's make this confession together and we will close in prayer. Let's say this. The words that come out of my mouth will not return empty. They will accomplish what I send them to do. They will affect everything that I intend to change. I am a doer of the Word of God. I will not back off. I will live differently. I will speak differently. And I will operate differently from the unbelieving, ungodly world. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we do honor you. We are called to live differently from this world. We are set apart, and we will live every day to honor you and glorify you, Lord. As we serve you with a fervency in our hearts, we will follow after your ways, and we will honor you and you alone. For there's coming a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So in the meantime, let's be aware of our words. Let's watch our mouths and what words are coming out of them. And let's allow the Holy Spirit who lives within us to give us wisdom, not to speak out before, but to hold back and then allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us. Hallelujah. Will you do that today? Amen. Amen.